It's Graham Atwell welcoming you to Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, live from the PLE 2010 conference in Barcelona. It's a great scene here. We've got about 60, 70 people out here on a terrace outside the City Lab building in Barcelona. We've got wine, we've got people, we've got food, we've got tapas because we're in Barcelona. People are talking, it's extremely animated, and it's a beautiful, beautiful blue summer day. It's wonderful. I'm hoping in a moment I was going to introduce this program today to you by talking to Ricardo Torres, who's the man who's been doing the running around organizing this conference. Ricardo, where are you? I can see him. He's just inside at the moment. But we're going to catch him in a bit anyway. So what's this show about? Well, this is the first of two shows around this conference on personal learning environments. I guess we're expecting about 120 people from all over the world here in Barcelona for the conference. We'll be going out at about 7:30 tomorrow night, talking to people about the first day of the conference. But tonight we're just going to be talking, chatting away to some of the people, what their expectations are for the conference, where they're from, what they're hoping to get out of it, and having a lot of fun with you. As ever, we've got Dirk Stierglitz, who's sitting behind the amplifier looking worried about the sound levels, and maybe we'll have a talk to Dirk a bit in it. And of course, we're going to be talking to people later on about the football, about Germany against Spain, and what they're hoping the result's going to be. Anyway, we're going into the first musical break now. All our music is Creative Commons music from the wonderful www.jamendo.com website, open source, free to play music. And I'm going to pass you over to the first musical break now with Dirk, and we'll be back with Maria Perefanu, who's going to be talking to the participants. Enjoy. Welcome back from the break, and Maria's out talking to people at the conference here, and she's going to be talking to Martin Volpers from the Role Project, who had just had a workshop here today, a pre-conference workshop here at PLE 2010. Over to you, Maria.
Hello, Martin. How are you?
Hi, Maria. I'm fine.
Did you come here today?
Actually, I arrived yesterday. As you know, we are organizing the ACTA conference. I'm the venue chair, and I had to check out the hotel and everything like that. So I came yesterday, checked out the hotel and everything, went to the seafront, which is very nice actually here in Barcelona, so I can recommend everybody, instead of go watch the game, go to the beach. Lovely.
How was the workshop?
The workshop has been very successful, very fine. We've learned a lot about people's views about personalized learning environments outside the Road Project, so outside the consortium itself. Graham's and Andrew's and everybody else's contribution have been very, very fruitful and very, very valuable for us. So we are very happy that we were able to organize this workshop.
Okay. So your expectations?
About what?
About the workshop? Where?
Oh, the expectations are fully fulfilled. We are very happy and satisfied with that. And now we're looking forward to the conference tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maria. And thank you, Martin. Okay, another short musical break now, and we'll be talking to more of the participants here at the conference. Over to you, Dirk.
You
And I promised you at the start I was going to talk to Ricardo Torres. If there's one person who's responsible for this conference actually happening, we started talking about this way back in Crete last September, it's Ricardo, and he's been working mighty hard. Ricardo, welcome.
Thank you, Graham. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm just going to say thank you for being here. Thank you for all the help, the interest, and I hope you enjoy the conference.
Ricardo, tell us one of the things you've been doing today. Tell us what you've been doing today.
You really want to know? Running up and down the stairs mostly, being on the phone all day, running after people, trying to get people to do things, trying to get people to be here on time, trying to print certificates and badges and things that were missing, and now I'm mostly drinking wine.
And Ricardo, a last question, only one more one question for you, and then you can drink your wine. What's the score going to be in the football match tonight?
I don't really care. I hope no one wins.
I think that's the one question unlikely to happen. Okay, Dirk, into the musical break now. I will be talking to some more of the participants. You are listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live internet radio, live from Barcelona. Got a lot of people from a lot of different projects from all over Europe here, and next Maria's going to be talking to my old friend Sebastian Fiedler, who's working I think on the Stellar Network of Excellence European project and he's based in Vienna, and we'll be asking him in this interview about his opinions on the football as well. But anyway, over to you, Maria.
Hi Sebastian.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well, and you?
I'm doing very well. I'm always like to be in Spain. Actually, I was just in Madrid the other day and Valencia, so it's kind of a Spanish period.
Nice. Tell us why you're here. Are you going to present something?
I think they put me in the very last slot. I'm not sure why, but it might be safer that way. I don't know.
Yes, better. So what's your expectations here?
From
the conference?
Well, I'd be interested to see if this sort of cacophonic state of affairs that we have with this concept can be overcome, and if we can reach a bit more of a common ground in terms of terminology and what people actually want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So we are waiting for a great and interesting discussions about PLEs.
Well, at least that.
at least that, of course. So tell us about the match today, football match. What are you expecting?
Football match?
Yes.
You know, I go out on a stretch, I think 3-1 for Germany.
Oh, let's see. We're here. We wish the best luck to both football teams, and we will see.
Of course, I said I'm going out on a stretch here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's back to Dirk, and then we'll be a bit more music for you, and then we're going to do some more interviews and talks with people here today. Okay, Dirk, in with the music.
I'm never looking for lost, because you know I'm a hero.
Hi, welcome back. And I'm going to be talking to Edna de Castaneda from Murcia in south of Spain. I'll ask her about the match later, but I guess I know what she's going to reply. And talking to football, you do know that the German, or is it an English, octopus, which has predicted every match correctly so far in the World Cup and is now a very rich octopus, has actually predicted Spain for today's result. So who tells? We'll tell later. Anyway, Linda, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Hello.
We're at the ROLL project, that's Responsive Online Learning Environments, European-funded project today, and we had quite an interesting talk during coffee break about some of what I see as a confusion we have in the technology-enhanced learning environment between what is learning and what's education, what's formal and what's informal. Can you give me your take on this?
My take on this is quite evident. The problem is we have a very small vision about what learning is. We think in learning only about formal ways to learn. Indeed, in education, we are working with our students in a very simple way sometimes. So they understand learning, even they understand learning only in one way. I have told you in our chatting in the coffee break, my students understand that they are learning only if they are memorizing something, or if they're doing a specific task with a specific goal. But I don't think they're learning all the time. So this kind of long life learning is more a slogan, is more a big title for something, but it's not a real construction around learning. It's more around education, it's more around institutions even.
Yeah, but here's a contradiction that I found. I talk about personal learning environments all the time. I talk about the power of informal learning, how people can learn from practice. But then we do surveys with students and they say, I don't want your personal learning environment. I want to be taught. I want to know what I've got to know to pass my exams. I don't want this learning you've got. How do we overcome that issue?
But it's normal. It's normal. It's all, if all your life the success is in the point of the institutional learning, definitely you want to be successful. Yeah. So for them, successful in learning is pass the exam. Indeed, my students, these 6 semester students, are waiting for their max. Only for their max. They have made a wonderful work. They have my feedback saying, you're wonderful and this is a wonderful job and you have learned many things, but they are waiting for their max. So, problem is very wide, but one of the problems is we have a very stricted vision about what learning is. And we are passing to our students, we are passing to our all people. All people think that this is learning. And this is not learning. Learning is wider than this. Learning is informal. Learning is formal. Learning is practicing. Learning is sharing. Learning is reflecting yourself. It's also those. So we cannot restrict the projects about learning only in one way, only in formal way or only in non-formal way. Definitely there are different ways to go ahead. Problem is when you focus in only one way to learn, you create learners. You create a kind of learners, a kind of learners, very specific kind of learners. These kind of learners that don't understand learning at their own process. They understand learning at the institutional process between institution and my marks and the job, but not about me.
So in order to change that, it's not going to be enough for us to invent a personal learning environment. You're talking about societal change now, a whole way in which our society values and looks at learning.
Society values. Oh. It's complicated, yeah? It's very complicated. Because, indeed, society think on you as a process of, I think society think on you not as a learning machine everywhere. I think they're thinking on you as a recipient learning is a recipe and metaphor. It's in the recipe and metaphor. You have to be plenty of knowledge, knowledges and contents, and then you can go for a job and take in your job, giving your job your contents. But they don't think in a process. Nevertheless, even more than build your PLE, we have to think in build a conscience, an awareness about learning and what learning is about. If your awareness about your learning and about learning is about you, you can reach and reach your PLE, definitely.
So that's the answer. Rethink about learning and rethink about yourself.
Yourself and your connections around. Not only yourself. Yourself and your connections. Between you're learning all the time from other people. Other people is making, reflecting you. When we are discussing, even in the cafe... We are learning a lot. I'm learning a lot. I'm here because of this. I'm here in this social moment because I learn a lot from the discussion from other people. It's not only about me, but if I'm aware that my learning is about me and about my relationship with the world, including all the people, I can enrich my personal learning environment, definitely.
Thanks very much, Linda. But here's the question you knew I was going to ask you. Your prediction for the football score tonight, Spain against Germany, semi-finals of the World Cup. What's the score going to be?
1-0, Spain win.
I thought you were going to say that, Linda. Thanks for that interview. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, live from Barcelona, live from the sounds of the summer. It's bizarre. Over to you, Dirk. Play us some music. I think Steve Wheeler it was who was on Twitter this week, and Steve Wheeler's always on Twitter, let's face it, Steve, where are you? One of the things he said is that the PLE conference list looks like the who's who of personal learning environments. And certainly high up on the who's who would be the wonderful Sapo Campus people from Portugal who have been trying to implement a PLE right across the university. And Maria's out now in the crowd, and it really is a crowd here, believe me, talking to the wonderful people from Sapo Campus. Over to you, Maria.
Hello.
Hello, Maria.
Hello, Maria.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Did you arrive today?
Yes, we were.
Yes.
So, tell us, what do you expect from PLE conference?
We expect a great conference with lots of discussion, tremendous learning, because we come here to learn. And with these great people, we all have common interests, and the whole idea is to learn with each other here.
Okay. And what we expect from you? We will have something like workshop here?
Yes, we are having a workshop tomorrow, and our main idea is to create a big discussion around some concepts that we've been discussing in our own project. So let's see if people are willing to participate and to discuss with us some ideas that we have about subcampus and about PLEs in general. It's the main idea.
And for those people listening to this show live, can you tell us something about Sapo Campus? Who's going to tell us about this? They're all pointing at each other here.
Thank you.
Well, SubComps is a platform with a web two tools and a PLE inside the institution, but open to the outside. So we believe that we could provide some core technology for people from the university, keep it open to the outside, and get some benefits because of this approach to PLE technology.
And I know that somebody said to me, one of you said to me this week on an email, that you were afraid that people are saying this can't be done, you can't have an institutional approach to PLEs, and you think you can. Which of it is you, hasn't it? Right, now there's a, then answer the question. You think there is an institutional approach to providing PLE support?
Yes, 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 I think so. And we're going to discuss it tomorrow. We have two kind of approaches of the PLE concept. But I think the institution, the higher education institutions, can have a major role in promoting some of the things that are attached to the PLE concept that perhaps the student on his own can't achieve so well and so fast as we think it may occur with the institutional support.
And I think this is going to be one of the most important discussions at PLE 2010. For those of you who are listening on our radio feed and can't be at this conference, we are streaming live video feed out. We're trying to get the cameras fairly responsive to what's happening. But you can pick up the SAPO debate tomorrow, which I think is going to be really interesting. And now I'm going to ask you a question. What's the football score going to be tonight?
Today, I think Spain is the very good team. Do you believe that?
I agree, Spain's very good. Your prediction on the score?
I'm in Spain, so I'm for Spain.
And you?
Germany.
And Maria, you're the last person who's not given us your opinion on the score today. Germany or Spain?
Spain.
Well, I'm actually wearing a Werder Bremen t-shirt here, and Ozil's in the German team, so I've got to go with Germany. But anyway, Dirk, it's over to you some music. Thanks to all of you for talking to me. I'm really looking forward to your session tomorrow. Over to Dirk. it's Graham Atwa here, welcoming you back to Sounds of the Bazaar live from the PLE 2010 conference, Personal Learning Environments in Barcelona. It's absolutely beautiful here. Sorry to some of you who may be coming in later. We started a bit earlier as the social got going here in Barcelona. It's great fun. We're under a blue sky on a wonderful courtyard. The magnificent City Lab building in North Barcelona. Tomorrow morning, I've got the pleasure of doing what we're calling an unkeynote session. An hour opening the conference with Alec Kouros from Canada. And Maria's just over the courtyard at the moment, and she's going to be talking with Alec, if I can get her attention, about what we're doing at that keynote. I'm just walking a bit closer to get there. Maria, are you ready? Maria, calling Maria. I'm going to have to walk around. Yeah, it's over to Maria, who's talking now live with Alec Kouros from Canada. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live interview, Sounds of the Summer, live on internet radio. It's Sounds of the Bazaar with Alec Kouros.
Hi, Alec. We're very happy that we have the honor to have you here. You traveled all far away from Canada to come here to Europe for the first time. Is that true?
Well, no, not to Europe, to Spain for the first time. Yes,
okay.
I have.
Okay. So tell us, what's your first impression first from Barcelona? We'll start with that.
Barcelona's been fantastic. It's more the people, though, meeting everyone and getting a chance to sort of connect with everybody face-to-face, people that I've known on Twitter for a long time. So it's been really great. A lot of love shown already. So already off the bat, it's just a fantastic experience. So it's been great. Yeah.
So tell us about the conference now. We had a discussion before, and we were talking about this nice atmosphere we have here, something informal but very friendly. And we expect nice discussions about PLEs, about technology, how can assist to learning. Tell us about your experience. What do you expect? Would you like to tell us about the keynote that you will do tomorrow?
Well, I think the whole idea of being, I mean, this particular conference, Graham and I have planned something called an unkeynote. So we have decided to kind of throw away everything that you would possibly know about a keynote, the whole presentation, lecture, stand and deliver type approach. And we're hoping to get people involved and participate. So not just people in the room who have come to the conference, but also people around the world. So to really make this whole idea, to actualize the idea of the personal learning network or personal learning environment. So I think that's really an important piece for this, because it's just, I do believe that this is the future. This is the future of learning. And to have everyone here who are like-minded to understand this, or people who want to learn more about this, it's been fantastic. So it's just a wonderful privilege and honor to be here.
This is a great challenge to have this kind of conferences. Do you think that we can persuade people to organize this kind of conference and drop these formalities?
I think it's already been happening, right? This is proof right now that I've never seen, and others have mentioned this already. I mean, people so willing to talk and to talk to each other, to greet each other, to have so many smiles and just friendly faces. Normally when you're, I was just at a conference, so it was a very traditional conference. I won't name any names, but very traditional, don't. Very stiff. I don't know if it's the atmosphere, but it's more likely the people. I mean, people who come to this who have these really strong ideas about what learning should look like, and I think that will challenge traditional notions. So I believe, hoping this is the first conference like this. And I hope it continues every year, and not just every year annually, but in between. I mean, this is something that needs to continue. The conversations have to linger and sustain in between, and that's how this is going to happen.
I think that we have here people who love learning.
I think so.
And this is the key to all this. And they love learning, they love the communication, love people. So we have this friendly atmosphere.
It is.
We thank you very, very much that you made all this trip to come here.
It's a privilege.
And we would like to have you other times too.
Of course, anytime. I will come here next time for sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alec.
Sounds the Bazaar, Sounds the Summer, live from Barcelona in Catalonia. It's Vox Pop time. Now, you know what usually happens when we say Vox Pop time? I can say this audience doesn't know what Vox Pops are. Well, at Vox Pops, there's your first candidate. At Vox Pops, Maria goes into the crowd with a microphone and chases them around with them, running around to get some quick comments from them about the conference. And they're already hiding. Maria, get into that crowd and get some Vox Pops going. Let's talk to some people. Maria, you've got to get your first victim here for the Vox Pops.
Go away. Don't disappear altogether.
So, this one.
A comment.
Oh,
a comment.
Sorry.
Nada para nada. Hello.
Hi.
A comment for the conference.
Pardon me?
A comment. Would you like to tell us about the conference?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Do you have anything that you will present?
Yes, I'm Fridolin, and I'm running a workshop on the science personal learning environment on Friday morning. And in general, I'm a PLE researcher, so I'm very excited that we have this conference finally. We should have done it already 5 years ago.
Oh,
so
yes.
My excitement is really high to finally have it.
Okay, and your first impression here from Barcelona?
I've been here a couple of times. Barcelona is always a very pleasant stay.
Thank you very much, Fridolin. Hi.
Bonjour.
We have here Joyce.
Hello. Oh, bon dia.
Bon dia. First impression, tell us. How do you find here the atmosphere?
Oh, it's just wonderful. I really enjoyed seeing everyone. And what I was just saying is that it's like your Twitter stream has come alive. It's all these people that you just know from their avatars. And now they're like walking and talking and smiling. It's wonderful.
This is great experience, yes.
Absolutely.
Would you recommend this conference to other people to come next year?
I would absolutely recommend this conference. In fact, I would say that we need to move this conference to Melbourne so that more of my Australian and New Zealand people can come.
We have a proposal here. Sounds fantastic, New Zealand. Okay, thank you very much, Joyce.
De nada.
Hello.
Hello.
We have here Berenice Blanco.
Yes.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Berenice.
Nice to meet you, Maria.
So tell us about the PLE conference. What was your expectations? What's your first impressions here?
Well, I live here in Barcelona. In fact, I used to work here in CityLab, so
nice.
I like very much the. I know that the conference is going to be a success because the installations are excellent and my expectations are to have fun, to learn and to meet people. That's great.
Thank you very much, Berenice.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Oh, my God. Yes, they all listen to you. A comment, your first comment here, impression. About Barcelona.
Oh, Barcelona is marvellous. It's hot, it's beautiful, it's lovely. And the conference? Yeah, I'm kind of just settling in. My kind of language head is still kind of skewed between French and Spanish, and I'm not quite sure if I should have learned any Catalan yet or not, but I haven't, so hell. It's all good. And yeah, I'm here and I'm talking with these wonderful, good people about dealing with enormous quantities of information and how we manage to assimilate it, learn, find our ways through it, find our guides through it, and these kind of rather major problems that we all have to face.
So we have very good discussions here. We're waiting for a very good discussion.
Marvelously rich discussions, indeed. But I think the big thing for us for the conference is to be troublemakers.
Oh yes.
and to think the things that we shouldn't be thinking, if this were a VLE conference,
for example.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very very much.
Very welcome.
Hello, and your name is
Beat.
Nice to meet you, Beat. And you're from
Switzerland.
Switzerland. Oh, nice to meet you. So, your first impression here?
sunny, warm, nice food.
Okay.
And interesting talks.
So we're expecting good things tomorrow.
Yes, okay. I do.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello, Paolo.
Hello.
How is Portugal?
Great.
How do you find it?
Sunny.
Oh, and the temperature here, more or less the same?
More or less the same, yes.
Okay. Tell me about the conference, the first comment. What do you think? We were expecting this for a long time. I was looking at your tweets, tweeting, Paolo is going to the PLE conference.
Yes, the only problem is the wine. Portuguese wine is much better than the Spanish wine.
Okay, we have here the first impression about something. Okay, did you learn any one word in Spanish? Do we know?
Catalão?
Not in Spanish. In Catalão.
Catalão, yes. Yes.
Do we know?
No.
Yes.
Only Catalão.
Okay, so tomorrow will you present something here?
Yes, the workshop 4, mm-hmm. We are trying to prove that Twitter could be the heart of a PLE.
Okay, so we have first thing in the morning a great discussion at your workshop. I wish you good luck. Thank you very much for being here and for telling all the people how this PLE conference will be good and huge success. Thank you, Paolo.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live from Barcelona. The PLE conference live on Sounds of the Bazaar. And we'll be coming back and we talk to I hope we're going to be talking to Andrew Ravenscroft from London Metropolitan University about internet radio and its possibilities. But first, we're going to take a musical break. Over to you, Dirk. Track. All our music comes as Creative Commons licensed music from the Mendo store. Dirk, do you know who that track was by off the top of your head? I love that we're going to the discount store.
Den Brick, discount store is the name, and it's coming from the Mendo site as well, yeah.
Yeah, and we're putting a podcast version of this, and we're trying to credit all the music as we probably should do with Creative Commons. But when they talked about discount store, we're talking today about a widget app store for widgets for PLE, and it reminded me very much of that. We're going to the discount store. We're going to the PLE widget store to download our widgets for our PLE, yeah? I'm talking on a bit here because my next person I'm going to interview, Andrew Ravenscroft from the Metropolitan University of London, who's going to be talking about internet radio. Just as I was going to talk to him, he pointed at his wine glass, did a runner inside to get a refill, and I'm waiting to come out again, which I'm sure he is, and here he comes, he's on the run. Andrew, I'm very delighted to have you on the store because you and me have been talking a lot about internet radio, haven't you? I mean, if you could see the setup here, we've got lightweight gear which we brought in. We've hired the speakers, but all the rest of this equipment actually adds up to about €400. And we reckon that radio is a great media. Tell us some of your ideas about what we might do with radio.
Yeah. Well, first, some audience participation, please.
Can people listen? What was the biggest revolution in mass communication?
Radio.
Yes, well, thanks for that fantastic response. It was radio. Imagine, sort of, before radio, we sat in our rooms, went to our pubs, and we just talked to each other. Then all of a sudden, somebody could communicate in a mass way to millions of people simultaneously. Well, this is far too significant to be put off track by things like the internet and silly things like that. So myself and Graham are planning to revolutionise informal learning and education through getting more people on the radio. The simple idea is that everybody is a performer, everybody has some musical tastes, everybody likes to watch football, and now with the internet, everybody could potentially broadcast to everybody else. So what this means is we've got people who are, or could be in some in their bedroom in Barcelona, who doesn't happen to be watching the football match, who might be a huge Leonard Cohen fan. And there might be people all over the world, not just in Canada, who are also Leonard Cohen fans. So that person, instead of watching the match, could broadcast Leonard Cohen to the long tail of the internet. And this has got to be the future. And the most important thing about this is there's no barrier to participation. So anybody can do this, but everybody doesn't have the cultural or resources to do it. But people can develop themselves through sharing their cultural assets in a live way on the radio.
Can I talk to you about that cultural resources? What do you mean by cultural resources, Andrew?
What I mean is that we need to rethink what we consider a cultural resource. Somebody who, for example, take my situation, the East End of London, where kids who don't go to school and who are basically got no interest in formal education are very interested in hip-hop, rap, they go to football matches, and what they could do is actually contribute to cyberspace and the cyber airways their own particular take on music, something that's come from their context and for which there wouldn't be an equivalent unless you'd lived in that area.
Oh, and what's the link with learning? Because this sounds very much like my interview earlier with Linda Castaneda, where we were talking about learning in a very different way, yeah?
The link to learning is that the reality of... how many people have performed live? Well, the thing about performing live, for those who haven't, because they haven't responded, is that you somehow pull things together. So if you're a dancer, you're worried that you're going to fall over. If you're a comedian, or you're a bit like me now, you think your jokes are going to bomb. If you're an actor, you think you're going to forget your lines. If you're a DJ, you think nobody's going to dance. But the thing is, about when you do it live, you pull it together because you have to. And that is the advantage of getting, for example, bedroom guitarists or bedroom DJs to be on the radio, that it forces them to pull together the presentation of their ideas. And because they're committed to it and interested in it, they tend to effortlessly translate their enthusiasm into skills and competencies. Because what they have that, say, for example, disenchanted students at university doing astrophysics don't have is a real internal drive to express their ideas. So something like radio gives the structure an orchestration to what is a clear drive combined with a cultural interest, which means that it's how we get learning emerging. And the best thing about this is there's somebody else out there who hasn't been on the radio, who hasn't been a DJ, who sees somebody doing something that they can do themselves. So they try it, and then they develop their skills, and then they become more organized communicators. They become more understanding of an audience, which means fundamentally understanding the mind of another person. Now, if you ask these kids to do a psychology lesson, they wouldn't have a clue. But they will certainly be able to communicate through music to like-minded people. Unlike I'm doing now.
And yes, Andrew, but you're broadcasting out on live internet radio, the Sounds of the Bazaar, live in the summer. But yeah, I very much back up what Andrew said. And to you that are listening out there, we've been running Sounds of the Bazaar live and podcast programs, and this quotes podcast up, for about 3 years now. And what we'd really like to do now is expand Sounds of the Bazaar out across the world without other people coming in. We've got the technical know-how. You don't need a lot, but there's a bit of technical know-how to this. And we like broadcasts like this going out in different languages in different countries across the world. And we're open and willing to help you. This is Open Creative Commons Internet Radio, broadcasting across the internet. And it's easier than you think. So if you're interested in knowing how to produce internet radio like this, just come and talk to us. You can email me, Graham10, that's Graham10, G-R-A-H-A-M-1-O, at mac.com. Search for Sounds of the Bazaar in Facebook. Just get in touch with us, and we'd be delighted to talk to you. Okay, we're going into another musical break now, and we'll be back talking to some of the wonderful people at the Personal Learning Environments, the first Personal Learning Environments Conference, PLE 2010. Bazaar live from Barcelona, PLE 2010. Pontedusky, who's the organisation behind the Sounds of the Bazaar programmes, small company based in Wales and in Bremen, Wales Pontypridd, which is our Pontedusky name comes from, and Bremen, Germany, where we have many friends. And for over the last 3 years, we've been really happy to have intern students working with us. And if we're talking about learning, then I think we've learned more from them than they've learned from us, if I was to be honest, making a balance about it. Over the last 8 months or so, longer than that, we've had Jo Turner Atwell, my niece, working with us. For the last 6 weeks, she's been away travelling around Vietnam, Laos and other places, and I haven't seen her actually since she left Bremen about 6 weeks ago, and she turned up here about 20 minutes ago, and now Maria's going to be talking to her about what she's learned while she's been travelling. Over to you, Maria and Joe. Joe, welcome back to, it's not quite Pontedusky, it's Pontedusky and a little bit of Barcelona. Welcome back, and over to you, Maria.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
So, tell us about your experience
in Asia. Yeah, it was really good, and really, it was very different to what I'd experienced in Europe. I didn't expect it to be quite so different, I don't think.
So, the temperature was like here?
Yeah, very similar to here. It's nice to be back in warm climates in comparison to England.
So, what's the memories that you will hold forever from this great trip? One thing that you will remember?
One thing? Christ, the roads. Definitely the roads. They're a lot more orderly here.
Really?
A bit manic.
So after this nice trip, you're here in Barcelona. Is it the first time that you're here?
Yes. Yeah, first time I'm in Barcelona and first conference ever.
Really? So tell us here what we're going to see from you.
I think it's tomorrow. I'm doing a workshop with Dirk, while I'm helping Dirk with the workshop on audio podcasting. And then I think the day after, I'm presenting a poster on some research that I did with Pontedusky.
Oh, very nice. Will you invite us to come to your nice workshop?
Yes, come to the workshop tomorrow.
Tell us something.
Apparently don't come to the workshop tomorrow.
So we hope that Germany maybe will win today. So Dirk tomorrow will be very happy. at yeah. this workshop, yes.
As long as he doesn't drink too much.
Okay, thank you really very much for this interview. And now, Dirk, music from you.
Quick.
Back to Sounds of the Bazaar live from Barcelona. Over the years of presenting Sounds of the Bazaar live online, one of my greatest friends in doing this has been Christina Costa. Christina Costa, wonderful. I met her first time in a JISC, that's the UK Joint Information Services Committee, conference in Manchester. And Christina said she'd love to work me on early podcasting stuff. And I love Christina instantly because she got the microphone, and we were just using an iPod at that time, and she was chasing people through, as I remember, the Salford Conference Centre, and they weren't getting away. And Christina, we've not had you on the programme much tonight, but I couldn't have a live Sounds of the Bazaar programme without having you on. Christina, what's your impression of the whole event? You've been all involved in organise this event for start. Perhaps you'd like to tell the listeners how this conference came into being. What was the start of it? You were there.
Yeah, I was there. It was in Crete. We were all together. We had we were there to present, and we decided, you know, we should do our own conference and try to subvert the system and do something that is more engaging in the kind of way people talk to each other, because what we thought is people going from one session to the other and there's not much of a conversation, and we're all talking about people engaging, but we're not really engaging people in a way that we thought we preach. So this is how it all started, and it was a couple of friends that got together and decided to put this conference up. It has been a lot of work, but also a lot of fun. And I think the environment here today shows that. It's a great atmosphere. People are talking, people are laughing, and I just think it's great.
And your take on personal learning environments. I mean, one of the issues we got coming at this conference, or coming into it, is that although we got huge interest in personal learning environments, we got very different views on what a personal learning environment is. How do you see personal learning environments?
Well, I leave it up to the learner, actually. I think it's really about the it's very personal, as it, the term says. But I know that there's people here that will talk about the institutional views about how you develop your personal learning environment. I think everyone has a personal learning environment. It's totally different, and we cannot put it inside a frame. And for me, that's my take, is it really has to relate to the individual. And I think our role as educators and researchers is to try to find ways that we facilitate the understanding of how people learn and how they can engage with this kind of technologies to broaden their horizons.
I think that's fine. But as you know, part of our role, or part of how many people see their roles, is design personal learning environments. Now, if we just say it's up to looking at people learn, how can we actually design a personal learning environment?
Oh, that's a very hard question. Very naughty. I think everyone does design. Like I said, I do not believe in static an aesthetic framework or an aesthetic design. I think we need to provide them with the approach, give them kind of facilitate the kind of the way they use these tools and these environments. But we cannot force people into a static design. So it has to be an open design. It has to be something that people feel that they can pick and choose. They can decide to have something and then drop it because something else suits their learning better. And I think you have to be as flexible and as open as we can.
And I think those words, open design, are really important. And I think if we could start exploring what open design means, we may get nearer to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's an area that we need really to start focusing on because it's really important, and we need to start breaking this the kind of barriers that all of this standard curriculum puts into the personal learning, and I think this is the I think this is something that we really need to start focusing on is how we kind of create very flexible and very open and very provides the ground for the personalization and customization of learning and also teaching, because that will also influence.
Okay, last question. Well, last but one question. The teaching part. What's teachers' roles in this? Because you work for a university. How do you see the PLE from a teacher's or an institutional point of view?
I think that teachers still have a very crucial role, probably more than before, because it's not about them providing the content, but actually supporting the way that people learn. And that's a step further into teaching, because it's not, again, it's not really about you just standing there and giving matter, giving people something for them to memorize or something. But actually, it's about them being there to facilitate, to look at different ways and support learners through their process to the point that they can carry on, not on their own, but with their own networks.
Okay, I said last but one question. You know the last one's going to be the football score tonight, Christina. Germany or Portugal? Oh, Spain. I'm sorry. It could have been Portugal. And I know what you just said it had been. But it's Spain. It's Germany. Who's going to win?
My heart is divided. As many people may know, I've studied in Germany. So I have a kind of a dedication for Germany, but I'm in Spain and I've been very welcomed in this country, so I just say, you know, may the best team win.
A very tactful reply. You're listening to the Sounds of the Bazaar live from Barcelona. They're cheering her for that reply here. There, she's got applause. She's the first person to get applause for her attack tonight. And they're getting well wound up, our audience here. You're listening to the Sounds of the Bazaar, the Sounds of the Summer, the Sounds of the Sun, live from Barcelona, the PLE conference. Dirk, play us in some music. Sounds of the Bazaar. It's been a lot of fun producing Sounds of the Bazaar here. Our sound limits and our time limits are on their end here. They wanted to close. They wanted us to cut the noise down a bit. It's been great fun. Thank you all for being so lovely. We haven't had a chance to have all of you on the programme tonight, but we've got another programme going at 1900 tomorrow. Don't forget to listen to the Sounds of the Bazaar live from Barcelona. Thanks to all of you for being a great audience, both you online and you face-to-face. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow. This is Graham Atwell signing out from Sounds of the Bazaar live.